800-581-8906. That's 800-581-8906. Order today.
Whether using your cell phone for business or staying in touch with family, your cell phone use is increasing. Use the Wave Shield, developed for ultimate cellular protection. The Wave Shield blocks, reduces, and deflects up to 97% of the radiation from entering the soft tissue of your ear. The Wave Shield, made of a patented mesh material, is proven and tested to block radiation without affecting reception. Order your Wave Shield today for only $19.95.
Did he just say $19.95? Hey, times are tough, so American Voice Radio Network is cutting the price to $17. That's right, $17.95 plus mailing. You can protect yourself, family, and friends from cell phone danger to your inner ear. $17.95 at theamericanvoice.com. That's the superstore at theamericanvoice.com. $17.95 plus mailing. Order now.
Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is June 4, 2009. Well, folks, it seems that some of the things that President Obama is doing are really as bad or much worse than what the rumors said about him during the election. If things keep going the way they are, programs like this may be shut down. He seems to be trying to shut up all free speech. America needs to wake up out of its slumber. Most say it's too late. We'll just see. I do know that now more and more people are losing jobs. Many people you never would have expected are seeking help from people like us, and they now cannot afford to pay rent and buy food. Some, even with jobs, are becoming homeless. With the economy the way it is, it's getting harder and harder to keep helping the broken people. Of course, it may not be you, but now consider that one out of every six people relies on some sort of government check or vouchers. Some do not even have this. So pray about supporting, please pray about supporting the Mission Church as we only survive through your kind gifts. We really need your prayers and continue to support to stay open and continue helping the poor and homeless. So please lift the Mission Church up in Wichita to prayer and see if you're led to help. As I don't want anything the Father doesn't want us to have. You can donate online by PayPal or find our mailing address at our website, which is simply messiahsbranch.org, messiahsbranch.org. And we are trying to keep you informed. It's just most of you still don't get it, but the world is in such great turmoil. It's time. We are in that time of the end. So it's time to come out of Babylon, the world. Look to the holy city. Look to that one that suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me, and I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, or you can email me at the simplest email address is pastor@wichitahomeless.com. Leave your number and your prayer request, and I will get back with you. Now for a prayer before we bring on our guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, I ask that what comes out on this program is what you want to come out, and not what I want, nor our guest. And I thank you so much for our time with the world this week. Amen and amen. Well, folks, before the election, the mainstream media wouldn't hardly, not in any way, touch on Obama's Muslim roots, as it is put. But now, after the election, some very direct comments have came from Obama and the media, such as in Turkey. He said, Americans do not consider ourselves a Christian nation or a Jewish nation or a Muslim nation. That's pretty strange. But he follows it up with, And now he says if you actually took the number of Muslim Americans, we'd be one of the largest Muslim countries in the world. Now, either he's grossly misinformed or it's a very big lie, because if by the numbers and you added it up, we wouldn't even be in the top 30. Today, here to talk about these quotes and Obama's trip to Egypt and more is an ex-Palestinian terrorist and author, Walid Shubat. His must-read books are God's War on Terror and Why We Want to Kill You and Why I Left Jihad. I strongly suggest that when you get his website that you go over there and explore it and check out these books. Along with him on today's programs, we have author Robert Spencer, which wrote the book Stealth Jihad, and he has a website called Jihad Watch. Walid has been on our program several times, and Robert has been on once before, but they have never been on together. If you have not heard their previous programs, I strongly suggest you go to our radio archives and listen to them. If you're just listening to us by satellite radio, then you can get the CDs of these programs by calling me. And so I now welcome Walid and Robert. Are you fellows here with me?
Yes, I am.
That must have been Walid. Are you there, Robert?
I am here. Yes, can you hear
me?
Okay, praise the Lord. I'm not used to doing three people or programs, so we'll get it figured out. Okay, let's start this off with this. You know, before the elections, the mainstream media really didn't want to touch on Muslims' roots, on Obama's Muslim roots. But it seems now Obama is flaunting those roots. Robert, would you care to comment on that?
Yeah, it's very strange. It's so strange that it looks like deliberate deception. And what we have is a situation where during the campaign, we had Barack Obama saying, or his people saying, that it was racist and that it was Islamophobic to say his middle name, Hussein, and that it was false that he had any ties to Muslims, and it was as if he had never met a Muslim before, practically. Some of the statements were so strong. And now, after the election, he's talking openly about how he comes from a family of Muslims, how he is not a Muslim himself, but he was raised in Indonesia among Muslims, how he respects Islam so much, and so on. And some of it is downright fishy. I mean, I could say, for example, his Kenyan grandmother during the campaign was trotted out to say that it was terrible what they were saying about her grandson, that he was a Christian. She was a Christian also. The rumors were false, et cetera, et cetera. And now we find out that his grandmother was a Muslim all along and is making the Muslim pilgrimage to Mecca. And so the whole thing was a setup. And I wonder, who is it who decided to lie to us on this basis? And what is their agenda? And there ought to be an investigation, but I'm almost certain there will not be.
Well, I strongly agree with you. Walid, what do you have to say about that?
Well, to add into Brother Spencer's remarks, in his speech in Egypt, he mentioned that in his upbringing, he listened to the azan, which is the Arabic word, the call to the prayer. He even knows the timing and everything else, at the dawn, at the sunset, and he even quoted the call to the prayer to the New York Times. The call to the prayer is a confession of the Islamic creed. There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger. And he knows how to recite this in eloquent classical Arabic, which is, a nominal Arab would not even be able to do this unless he goes to the Islamic madrasa school. So, he's able to quote the Quran to the Egyptian people. He loves to choose verses like whoever kills a life kills the whole earth, whoever saves a life saves the whole earth. Yet if you continue the actual verses in the Quran in Surah 5, but as for those who do mischief in the land, then amputate their feet from opposite sides and crucify them. What is that talking about? Talking about torturing. I mean, what defines doing mischief in the land? Well, Islamophobes do mischief in the land in this case. And in fact, Obama himself said that, he wants to basically start combating Islamophobia, he basically equated all fundamentalists on the same level there, that is. He didn't say Islamic fundamentalism. He says, terrorism and so on and so forth. Of course, pretty soon we will be on the chart of people to be persecuted. Brother Spencer, myself, people like Brigitte Gabrielle, people who speak out, your radio station, in the near future will become, it will be picked on as entities that are fundamentalists. We are the enemy. We are the ones who basically giving Islam a bad name, and we should adhere to the peace, the sentiment of peace, you know. And of course, your radio is a Christian radio. We talk about the Bible. The Bible clearly says when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction will come. And this is what I'm worried about. I'm worried about this whole facade of aura of peace, false peace, that Islam is all of a sudden a peaceful religion, when it hardly is a peaceful religion or a peaceful system. It's not even a religion in total. It is an ideology. It's a government system. It's a Sharia law. This is Islam.
Well, Walid, now you're an ex-Muslim. If some man got up there in front of you as he did today or yesterday, I guess time zone difference or whatever, but and spoke those things, would you be upset if he didn't seem to have those in his heart? I mean, you know, he's talking like isn't these things actually sounding like they're coming from his heart, meaning not just saying them?
Well, if I was a Muslim like I used to be and hearing Obama's speech in Egypt, I would be elated. In fact, Hamas commends his speech because, again, he is admitting that Islam contributed to the whole world in science and so on and so forth. He is saying that Islam is a beautiful religion. He's saying the Quran is a viable book to swear on in the American government. He showed Keith Ellison as the first Muslim politician to swear on the Quran, to give oath on the Quran. These are very, to a Muslim, we will think, oh, wait a minute. You know, he claims to be a Christian. What's going on here? Again, you know, in Islam, you can say that a Muslim is a Christian or a Jew. It doesn't matter. If you look into the Quran, Abraham, let's say, the Quran says Abraham was neither Jew, neither was he Christian, but he was Muslim. Well, it's not true. Abraham, you know, he is the father of the Jewish faith. So in Islamic thinking, the true essence of Christianity is Islam. The true essence of Judaism is Islam. So, you know, you can say, you know, you're Christian or Jew, doesn't mean anything. What matters to the Muslim here in this case is that the essence of Barack Obama, he is speaking as a Muslim, which will basically give him a lot of brownie points, and he basically will be accepted.
Yeah, amen. I agree with you. Robert, you know, you told me on the last program, you said that you really didn't think that he was a Muslim, or, you know, in fact, you wrote a letter or something, an article saying he wasn't. Any thoughts on that now after today's speech?
Well, you know, it is true that he did say that he was a Christian in this speech today, but Walid is right. He was talking like a Muslim. He used words in ways that Muslims use them. He used Islamic phrases. He spoke of Moses and Jesus and Muhammad, peace be upon them, which is a Muslim way of referring to prophets. And so I have to say that when I wrote the article that you referred to that was dismissing charges that Barack Obama was a secret Muslim, I think that in this case now it has to be said that if Barack Obama is not a secret Muslim, he's certainly acting like one. He's not acting any differently from how he would act if he were a secret Muslim. And so whether he is or whether he isn't, it's the same, because he's acting like one. And, you know, when Walid is speaking so well about the efforts to restrict freedom of speech, this is a very real threat, and one that Obama has done nothing to defuse, but actually has abetted today by saying that he's going to be working to restrict stereotypes of Islam, which means, in reality, as we all know here, he means that he's going to try to restrict people who speak truthfully and honestly about the teachings of Islam regarding warfare against unbelievers and so on. And that is an initiative that is already well advanced and is proceeding at the United Nations, which has already passed resolutions forbidding, condemning, criminalizing what they call Islamophobia. And if you read the fine print, they don't mean by Islamophobia just sort of irrational hatred or bigotry of Islam, but they mean even efforts on the part of counterterrorism experts to speak about the motives and goals of the terrorists. And so Barack Obama may not be a secret Muslim, or he may be, but he is actually aiding in an agenda that directly aids the Islamic jihadists. And that's not the only way in which he's doing it either.
Well, I have to believe that he, speaking the way that he did to Muslim people, and let alone not just a what we call a moderate Muslim here in the country, that they would have to believe that he is a Muslim in order to accept what he was saying. But I do have something else to ask you. You know, wait a minute. Okay, let me get back to my notes here, guys. What do you think about this? Today, he said that he compared the Palestinian plights to the same thing as the Holocaust with Nazi Germany. In other words, saying what's going on in the Palestinian camps are as bad as what Hitler did to the Jewish people. What do you think about that?
Mirror, Peter.
You can take it, Wallet.
Okay, well, I mean, it's a, the Holocaust in Germany has been admitted and confessed by the Germans as a Holocaust. There is no element of confession in Muslim countries regarding the Armenian genocide. Why is he picking on Israel? He was speaking in Turkey. Turkey killed over a million Armenians, yet has he said anything about the Armenians? Has he said anything about the Cypriots, the occupation of Cyprus by Turkey? Has he said anything about the persecution of Christians in Iraq, in the Palestinian areas? The Arab culture had 20% Christians, a vibrant community. Now it's 2 to 5%. What happened to them? They were persecuted by the Muslim communities. Has he said anything about the Coptic Christians in Egypt? Yet let's talk about the issue of Israel. Okay, let us talk about the issue of Israel. Why is he majoring on the minors? Israel retaliated against Gaza. They were being lobbed at by missiles from Gaza. Israel had a vibrant community in Gaza, Jewish community. Okay, we did what Obama said. Okay, this is under the Bush administration. We emptied these Jewish community from Gaza. What happened? We had the birth of Hamasistan, the burning of greenhouses, you know, all these beautiful things that Jews built, they burned it, synagogue burned, everything burned. Even the place where Joseph was buried was burned in front of the whole world. And you have a Jewish community in the West here who says never again, never again. They talk about Kristallnacht, yet they forget to talk about Josefnacht when Joseph's tomb was burned. So who is persecuting who? The Holocaust of the Jews never ended. It never ended. Simply put, that the victims decided to establish a state. And when they establish a state, here are the politicians again saying, tear down the walls, leave your communities, we must give your communities to your worst enemies, and we must come at your Adam's apple. Is this the message we're giving Israel? The country that basically destroyed the Osiris nuclear reactor in Iraq? You know, it was Israel that stopped the nuclear buildup in the Middle East. Now Obama wants to establish more nuclear buildup in the Middle East. He's giving the green light for Iran, our enemy, to say you can build your nuclear. Obama is majoring on the minors and minoring on the majors. Let's talk about waterboarding. Let's talk about the Guantanamo Bay prison. Those are minor issues to America. It means nothing to me if the inmates or a bunch of terrorists are being imprisoned in a different country. Why would I want to bring them to our prison system? Creating this so-called dialogue over torture and so on and so forth is basically diverting the American attention from his real agenda. And his real agenda is to twist Europe's arm to allow Turkey into the EU, to give the green light for Iran to have nuclear. This is why I'm beginning to suspect that Obama's Islamic culture roots are now mushrooming and coming to the surface.
Yes, most assuredly. And I was going to mention that about Iran. Let me add to that. You know, after he became president, we had several carrier groups in the Gulf, because of Iran. He has now withdrawn them all, and Iran and, Russia both are building up, ships in the Gulf. And, you know, it looks like you say, it looks like he's making a green light. What would that do to Israel? I know it is, but what do you have to say about that? If they receive our nuclear bombs, should we all be worried?
You want Robert to answer or myself?
Let's try Robert and see what he has
all
to
right.
say.
Well, certainly if Iran develops a nuclear bomb, they will destroy Israel. And that will destroy, to a tremendous extent, the free world itself. because people don't realize, but Israel's struggle is our common struggle. Israel is on the front line of the global jihad. They are facing the same foe that we saw on 9/11 and that is still dedicated to destroying the United States and the free world. And if they are, if succeed in destroying Israel, which is a very real possibility, it must be said at this point, then it will be a tremendous victory for the forces of evil, for the forces of Islamic Jihad. And they will be emboldened, they will be strengthened, they will be encouraged, and they will, we will see jihad activity then in the United States that will make 9/11 look like a tea party.
Yes, I agree.
And I'll concur.
Yeah, I heard of one of the leaders was talking last night on TV. They showed it on Glenn Beck where he was talking about smuggling across the Mexican border like 6 pounds of anthrax to attack us with. And so, you know, do you not think then by bringing forward the Guantanamo Bay thing and dropping that and telling them about that we don't agree with it and telling them about what we did, isn't that making America weaker in our defense? Isn't he opening us up for that? Wallen.
Yes, sir, he is. In fact, if I may add to the words of Brother Spencer, he's correct. Israel is a threat, and not only Israel, but America is a threat because they could easily smuggle one of those nuclear warheads into a barge and lob it in New York. But if I may add that, you know, this is the scenario that likely is to happen, but there's another scenario that could likely happen. If Iran gets nuclear, you have the country of Saudi Arabia at threat. The question is whether they will lob a missile at Saudi Arabia or at Israel still is a question. It is possible that the Sunni Muslim world is not going to stand silent while a Shiite government becomes the mini superpower in the region. Turkey, Egypt, Saudi Arabia are already talking about having nuclear ability. If Iran gets the green light, so will the other countries. Now, American administration policies has always been to aid the lesser of the two evils. In this case, America will stand with the Sunni sector of the Muslim world to basically neutralize Iran as a threat. By that, you will have an armament arms race with nuclear. It's possible that Iran could be looking towards the Sunni Muslim world and having a fight with Saudi Arabia. There goes the oil wealth, and there goes our dependency on oil. And there goes, you know, Arabia in a mushroom cloud. So I think biblically, you know, in the Bible it does talk about, and that's a big, long discussion, but it does talk about the whole Middle East going in a war. And Israel will be triumphant in the end. They have the Arrow missile. They could basically shoot down some of these nuclear warheads coming at its land and be able to blow up these nuclear missiles in Islamic land as they're coming through.
Right. In fact, we're going to be going to break here in about 2 minutes, but Walt, I am going to do want you to put us a little, I know it would take a long time, but put a little bit of perspective on where this puts us at biblically in the second half. Now, why don't we start with Robert. Robert, why don't you tell the folks where your website's at and what they can find over there?
Sure, jihadwatch.org. It's jihadwatch.org, and it is a news and commentary site on Islamic jihad activity in the United States and around the world, both violent and stealthy, and it is updated many times daily. I don't know of any other place on the Internet or off where you can find this kind of news about the global jihad.
Well, praise the Lord. I haven't read your book yet, but your book is available over there, correct?
Yeah, if you mean, well, really, all my books are available at Jihad Watch and also at Amazon.com, and in most any self-respecting bookstore will have them.
Self-respecting, that's a word. Okay, Walid, why don't you tell us about your website real quick before we get away?
My website is shuban.com, easy to spell. You remember me every time you put your shoe on, S-H-O-E. And bat, like baseball bat, shoebat.com. And my latest book is God's War and Terror, Prophecy, Islam, and the Bible.
Excellent, excellent. And I, folks out there, if you haven't read God's War on Terror, I strongly, strongly suggest that you read it. I haven't read another book like it, except maybe, I said the last time you were on, Wallen, I compared it to being the best book after the Bible to have right now and to read, and I still stand with that. It'll give you an eye-awakening experience, folks. But right now we're going to go to break, and we'll be back with both Robert Spencer and Wallen Chewback in about 3 minutes with more.
Don't go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Vitamin E prevents internal blood clots, but not all vitamin E is equal. Would you like to get a vitamin E that makes blood flow more smoothly than Plavix, but with no harmful side effects? Four Spectrum Natural Unesterified Vitamin E Complex has been called WD-40 for your blood. It actually lubricates the blood while it dissolves plaque. It prevents platelet aggregation and internal clotting. It neutralizes smoke, fumes, waste, and other harmful free radicals. Doctors report relief from angina, painful leg cramps, strokes, fibrocystic breast tumors, circulation problems, and much more. Get one bottle for $35 postpaid, two bottles for only $60 postpaid. Restore this vital nutrient removed from your food supply through food processing. Read more at 4spectrum.us, spelled number 4spectrum.us. Call 800-581-8906. That's 800-581-8906. Order today.
The U.S. dollar is fluctuating, gasoline reserves are low, and the price is rising. World events are, at best, uncertain. How would you fare a stock market crash, hyperinflation, or an overall economic collapse? What would you do if you woke up and the U.S. dollar had the buying power of a penny? Call Swiss America at 1-800-BUY-COIN for a free 21-page report explaining the current economic dangers and how you can take steps to protect yourself and family. Call Swiss America at 1-800-BUY-COIN. That's 1-800-289-2646. 1-800-289-2646. To learn how you can become prepared, call 1-800-289-2646 and mention you heard it on the American Voice Radio Network.
Can your family survive a food shortage lasting 2 weeks, 6 months, or maybe longer? Sound far-fetched? We live in precarious times. There is an ever-increasing possibility of food shortages caused by terrorist attacks, natural disasters, truck strikes, or monetary collapse. You owe it to yourself and family to prepare, and you can by getting a supply of our long-storing, freeze-dried, dehydrated foods. Our foods are time-tested to store for decades, require a minimum of time and energy to prepare while maintaining superior nutritional value, freshness, and taste. Our foods were designed for the space program and are in constant use today by our own nuclear submarine service. Contact the Freeze Dry Guy today at freezedryguy@landsat.com. That's freezedryguy@landsat.com or call 530-265-8333. 530-265-8333 and let them know you heard it on American Voice Radio.
Saints, and we're back. This is Pastor Dan, and we're on the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour, which we're listening to on the American Voice Radio Network. Please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor. And if you enjoy this kind of radio programming, pray about supporting airtime. All right, I'm glad to have you back, Wallen and Robert. Robert, I'll start a question off with you. Obama said we were one of the largest Muslim countries in the world. What do you have to say about that?
I think that's one of the most odd statements. I mean, the guy is really out to lunch when he says something like that. I mean, the Muslim population in the United States, by Obama's word, is 7 million. It's really closer to 2 million. But in any case, the Islamic advocacy groups have inflated the numbers to increase the appearance of their political clout. And so he's going by their numbers. Fine, even with 7 million, you got 200 million Muslims in Indonesia, 160 million, give or take, in India and Pakistan both. And you've got many other countries, Iran, Afghanistan, Iraq, so many others with very large Muslim populations, with Muslim populations many millions larger than that of the United States. And it's a very bizarre statement, and also a disquieting statement, because when he says that America can be considered as a Muslim country, that statement has very important implications for Islamic theology in terms of their division of the world into the Dar al-Islam and the Dar al-Harb, the House of Islam and the House of War. And if he is actually claiming that America is part of the House of Islam, that would give great encouragement, and it would certainly embolden Muslims who are trying to bring elements of Islamic law here and to assert elements of Islamic law over American law, which is something that is an ongoing initiative that is being pursued very energetically by certain Islamic groups in the United States today.
Now, this is where you come in real good at. Isn't that going on? I mean, aren't they teaching some, like, Muslim prayers and things like that in California schools and different places?
Yeah, that happened in the Byron Union School District in California. I was an expert witness in that case. Public school students were made to memorize Islamic prayers, to perform the Islamic prayers in class, to fast, that is to skip lunch, but that's as close as you can get in a school day, during Ramadan, and to essentially the workbook made them affirm the Islamic faith, because it had true-false questions that were phrased like this: Muhammad, true-false, Muhammad is the apostle of God. And they didn't say, in other words, Muslims believe that Muhammad is the apostle of God, true or false. They just said Muhammad is the apostle of God, true or false. So to get a right answer, you had to essentially affirm the truth of Islam. And actually, we lost the case. Not so hard to believe, given the state of the American judicial system and the far-left judges that have been in place now for so many years. But it was nonetheless a travesty of justice. They said, well, it's just role-playing. But you can imagine how fast and how shrill the outcry would be if there had been any kind of exercise about Christianity remotely like that. The ACLU would have been all over it.
Right, exactly. This new hate crime bill that they're pushing forward, they're talking about it. In fact, it's called the Pedophile Something Act. But my point is with it is it talks about, you know, you can't pick on somebody for who they are, whether a homosexual or what. I think what the mainstream, forget the mainstream media, even the media that like we're on, people are missing the fact that they could use this to say something bad about Islamic people, that if I, like we were talking now, they could probably arrest us after this hate crime bill goes through for saying what we were saying now. Any comments on that, Robert?
Yeah, there's no doubt that that's going to happen. I mean, that's what I was saying before with the Organization of the Islamic Conference at the United Nations, which is 57 Muslim governments around the world. It's the largest voting bloc at the UN right now. And they are trying to criminalize criticism of Islam. And that would include a conversation like this.
Right.
Would include any serious investigation of the roots of terrorism. And with Obama approving this hate crime law and showing that he wants to cozy up to the OIC, which he mentioned in his speech today, and to the UN, I think it's very easy to see this kind of law coming to the United States.
Yes, exactly. And I think that hate crime law, by the way, nobody has stood up and spoken out against it, and it's just... It's in the House, I guess. No, it's out of the House and in the Senate, so it could come at any time. Anyway, Wallet, having listened to all this and thinking it, I can't help but wonder what you have to say. Does this bring us closer to the end times? Where do you think this puts us at?
Well, it's not like as the Bible didn't warn us about this coming epidemic. It's that the Christians in the West did not really look into the Bible to see where it is. In 1 John 2:22, who is the liar? He who denies that Jesus is the Christ, He is Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. For many years, I went to Sunday school in the West. They taught us that the Catholics were Antichrist. And I said, wait a minute, they don't deny Father and Son. What is going on here? This is not talking about the Catholic Church, as, you know, some traditionalists
right.
aspire. But the majority of Protestant reformers, Protestant scholars, has always taught, you know, Jonathan Edwards, even John Calvin, taught that Islam is the religion and system of Antichrist. So we're going back to this ancient old teaching that really should be vibrant today. Our forefathers really warned us about this epidemic. We need to revive this, because if, you know, in the break, I listened to a song, Behold, He Comes Riding on the Clouds at the Trumpet Call. When I asked my American friends, when he comes riding on the swift cloud, where is he going? And they don't even know. It's in Isaiah 19. The Lord comes riding in a swift cloud, coming into Egypt. Why is he going to Egypt? Where Obama is commending Islam in Egypt, the Messiah is coming to fight Islam in Egypt. So how could Obama be claiming himself to be a biblical Christian when in reality Egypt is confirmed as an enemy of the Bible? The Messiah comes, he fights in Joel 3, in the judgment of the nations. Then he contends with Tyre, which is Lebanon, and Philistia, which is Gaza. The Messiah in Isaiah 63, he fights Edom. And in Ezekiel 25, the God of the Bible tells us that Edom stems from Teman, which is Yemen, to Dedan, which is the heart of the Arab world. Why is the Messiah himself in person fighting Muslim nations if indeed many think that Islam will be removed before the ushering forth of a European Antichrist? We see Obama doing the bidding for Turkey to allow it entry into the EU, and even Europe is rejecting Turkey entering into the EU. So why would we think that the EU is the Antichrist when in reality we see the spirit of Antichrist and the persecution of Christians is particularly stemming from the Muslim world? They basically rule the Temple Mount, you know. This is where the Messiah is going to, you know, have his kingdom in Israel. And so we need to revisit the Bible. This is why I wrote my book, God's War on Terror, which is probably the most extensive research done on the subject. The issue of Mahdism, that Obama gives a green light for Ahmadinejad to build nuclear, and Ahmadinejad talks about the coming of the Mahdi. He aspires for the Mahdi. He spoke in Columbia University, in which when I spoke at Columbia University, the university didn't allow the people to come hear me speak, yet the same university that stopped this free speech allowed the students and everybody else to hear Ahmadinejad speaking about the coming of the Mahdi, who will supposedly bring 7 years of peace. Now, the one who brings 7 years of peace from a biblical perspective is the Antichrist. In other words, when I read the Bible as a Muslim,
right,
and when I began to find out that the antithesis of what's in the Bible is in the heart of Islam, I began to see that my path wasn't the path of Antichrist.
Yeah, amen. And that was what I was going to ask you is, why should we believe what you have to say about the Bible rather than what most people is? Because how is it that you got the different perspective? I know, but tell the people why your perspective is different than, say, a normal Westerner that looks at the Bible.
Well, the Bible is an Eastern manuscript. It's written in an Eastern way of thinking. I see in the West the allegories becoming literal and literals becoming allegories. So if the Bible says Edom, they might think this means Rome. It doesn't. Edom means what it says, Edom. And there's many misconceptions, you know, the usage of verbs in the Bible. This is why I speak about it. I write about it extensively in my book. However, I am simply reviving what many in the Protestant scholars have already been speaking about, how Daniel was interpreted, how Revelation was interpreted, you know, so on and so forth, which will take several hours to even get into the discussion. But I'm simply trying to revive what's been already determined. Look at Sophronius in Jerusalem. When Jerusalem was occupied by Umar ibn al-Khattab, and they burned the fields and they destroyed villages and so on and so forth, and removed the cross from Jerusalem, even Sophronius himself said, here comes the advent of Antichrist. Look at John of Damascus. He was there at the advent of Antichrist, you know, of Islam. He says Islam is the Antichrist. I can quote so many scholars and church fathers who really were saying the same things I am saying, and I'm simply reviving what's been said all along. I'm not coming with a new theology.
Right. Let me ask Robert a question. Robert, what do you think, listening to all this and also from all your studies and everything, what do you, let's consider a moment that his heart, Obama's heart, is Muslim. What do you think that we can look forward to as an American people to this man's, the rest of his term as president? Do you feel it's a danger to us?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I don't know how to answer the question because things have been so bad for the last 6 months. I shudder to think of where we'll be in 3.5 years. And it is indeed a very dangerous time that we're in. You know, Waleed's biblical exposition was fascinating, and I think that it's important to emphasize, maybe not all listeners know, that the Quran repeatedly says that it is an offense to God's transcendent majesty, to the transcendent majesty of Allah, to have a son. And that is in direct contradiction to the passage that he quoted from 1 John chapter 2 about that he who does not have the Son does not have the Father. And so when Obama is acting, sort of pretending in this rainbows and unicorns and moonbeams kind of way that both Christianity and Islam are true and we can speak about Muhammad as a prophet in the same breath with mentioning Moses as well as Jesus Christ himself, that this is something that is in complete contradiction both to the Bible and to the Quran. And, you know, Barack Obama may not believe in either one, but he can't believe in both.
Yeah, amen. I agree totally. And so what I was going to say from, you know, a Christian or Messianic point of view is that we could not say what he said today and still be of our faith. That would be saying totally something pagan, and it would be anti-Christian. So you're right. He can only be one or the other. He cannot be both, of course. Wallet, there's a lot of talk about the settlements and everything, and I even read where Obama, people reported, it wasn't that Obama said it, but that he was talking about giving the capital, making the Palestinian capital in Jerusalem, and now I find out that he's really angered about them trying to build a hotel in Jerusalem. Do you think that that will succeed, or let me better ask you, what does the Bible say about it? Will Jerusalem be divided when Messiah returns?
Well, Barack Hussein Obama, better heed to the words of the Bible in Joel 3. I will gather all nations into the valley of Jehoshaphat. Then I will enter into judgment there with them on the account of my people, my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. They have also divided up my land. Dividing the land of Israel is part and parcel of why the Messiah will judge the nations. It does matter how we interpret Scripture. People say, well, it really doesn't matter how you interpret eschatology and the coming of Jesus, so on and so forth. It does. In fact, the first coming of Jesus, there was two interpretations regarding his coming. There was one simple interpretation that says Jesus comes riding on a white horse. The other interpretation says Jesus comes riding on a donkey. Now, the people who adhered to the horse interpretation rejected the Messiah and ended up losing their salvation, or not having any salvation in this case. Even though, regardless that they went to temple, regardless that they sacrificed lambs and goats, regardless that they went to synagogue, they didn't get any salvation. The ones with the donkey interpretation ended up following Jesus as the Messiah and received salvation. So it does matter. The Bible tells us that division of the land of Israel and establishing this Palestinian state is part and parcel of God's judgment in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. So this is very crucial. This is why I switched sides. I realized that I was on the wrong side, that Jerusalem, according to Zechariah 14, since Obama's speaking about Jerusalem, God says he will make Jerusalem a trembling cup to all surrounding nations. You know, who are the surrounding nations of Jerusalem? That's the Muslim world. Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, said that the day of judgment shall not come to pass until the tribes of Islam defeat the tribes of Israel in Jerusalem and the surrounding nations. And then the trees and the stones will cry out, there's a Jew hiding behind me, come and kill him. So Islam stole the eschatological pieces from the Bible and twisted the end result to give the victory to Islam. In other words, the Muslim world has been set up. We need to save the Muslims from that you know, perilous judgment that they're going to receive. And this is why, as Christians, we need to witness to the Muslims and love the Muslims. However, loving the Muslims doesn't mean that we don't tell them the truth about the pit that they're about to fall into.
Yeah, amen. Well, love is telling the truth. And that, and some of the hardest things, parents do that with children. Oh, I loved him, so I went ahead and let him do it. No, if you loved your child and he was doing something wrong, you're supposed to tell your child what it is, and if you have to, punish him to change his ways. So doesn't this then kind of shoot us rapidly forward into those end times?
Yes, when we see peace, the Bible tells us, when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction will come and they shall not prevail. So Obama is ushering forth this aura of peace with Islam, peace with the Antichrist. In fact, many Christian leaders falsely fall into this trap in going to Syria and proclaiming Syria as a peaceful country. And
right.
I don't want to mention names, will cause divisions, because the problem is that many in the Christian movement think that, okay, well, Jesus says, you know, that Jesus honored peace and blessed are the peacemakers. But when Jesus comes, he will tell them, but I said to you, by peace he will deceive many. What kind of peace is the Bible talking about? It's not talking about false peace with a system of Antichrist. It's talking about peace within each other. You know, I love Brother Robert Spencer. And, you know, when I had a discussion with Mr. Spencer one time, you know, he doesn't come from an evangelical background. And he taught me a few things I never even looked at, and I learned from him. He's a, you know, maybe he should give a background about his Christian upbringing. I would love to hear his voice, because I do agree with him. Not, you know, we simply in the West think that Christians are only the evangelicals, but however, the Armenian Christians refuse to accept Islam. They refuse to declare the Shaharatan, and they lost their heads. The Church of Smyrna was massacred and beheaded. These weren't American Western evangelical Christians. The Copts are being persecuted. Are these not our brethren? I think we need to unite. Jesus wants us to unite our efforts.
Amen. I wholeheartedly agree. We do need to very strongly. But the Americans in the United States, which could really do the most, because they would have that power, but their power seems to be shut off. I guess they've been worshiping or preaching too much about all this prosperity things, and really just saying, well, when he comes, I'm just going to fly out. So do you think that doctrine, when he comes, we're going to fly out, is partially why they may just be...
Well, I think the Bible is clear. Persecution is going to be the modus operandi, the test, the litmus test of the true believers. The Bible clearly says that we, the believers, will be refined as gold is refined through the fire. That means persecution. So the ones who are persecuted will shine. People like Mr. Spencer, you know, people who are advocates for the Christian faith, who are out there fighting, regardless of their denomination, those are the ones who are going to be reformed and basically purified. The ones who are going to look at the Bible interpretation in a very light fashion and easy believism, and it is all about social programs, those are the Christians who think they're Christians, but in reality are falling right into the step of the system of Antichrist, which will have peace with the Antichrist. In fact, you know, if a Christian claims that he is pro-giving a Palestinian a state, he's going against the Bible, since the Antichrist wants to divide the land for gain. What side is this so-called Christian on? Is he on the side of Christ, or is he on the side of Antichrist? He will be on the side of Antichrist. You can't be on the side of Antichrist and at the side of Christ at the same time. You have to make a choice. You have to make a decision for Christ. And in obeying Christ, you have to also basically obey his commandments. If you love me, you obey my commandments, he said. You know, there's a difference between the diligent servant of Messiah and the lazy servant of Messiah. He gives us these parables in which we need to look at, and we need to stand with Christ and what he commanded us to do.
Robert, we'll go back to you for a moment. Any final words in the respect of what do we do now, Robert? What do we do now?
Well, you know, I think, Waleed, I thank you for your very kind words, and I thank God for you and for your ministry. And I think that when you ask me what can we do now, it's really all related to what Waleed has been explaining, that this is a spiritual battle. It is not solely a battle that is military. It is not solely a battle that is cultural. It is all those things, but it is primarily a spiritual battle. It's noteworthy, you know, Waleed mentioned Joel chapter 3 about where the Lord says, I will gather all the nations, bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, enter into judgment with them on account of my people and my heritage Israel, because they have scattered them among the nations and have divided up my land. It's noteworthy that right in the same passage, in verse 4 of chapter 3, he says, what are you to me, O Tyre and Sidon and all the regions of Philistia? Well, that, of course, is Tyre and Sidon is southern Lebanon, and Philistia is Gaza and the West Bank, as what we would call it today. Mm-hmm. And so it's I think, very striking that those two regions in particular would be mentioned in connection with the same passage. And that just indicates, once again, that what we are dealing with really is ultimately the struggle of good versus evil. And it is a struggle that's even larger than the struggle to defend the United States, the struggle to defend civilization, the struggle to defend the Judeo-Christian tradition. It is something that ultimately we have to meet with faith and with prayer and fasting. As the Lord said, this kind can only be driven out by prayer and fasting, when he was talking about a particularly troublesome demon that had possessed the young man. And this is the kind of thing that we're up against. We are up against forces of evil that glory in killing, that glory in murder and death. You know, there was an Islamic jihadist in Afghanistan not long after 9/11 who said, we're going to win because the Americans love Pepsi Cola and we love death. Well, we have to not love Pepsi Cola so much and love life and love God more than death, more than they love death, and then we will prevail.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for being on the program. Once you give your website, and then I'm going to ask Wallard for his final comments. So thanks for being on, brother. Give us your website.
It's jihadwatch.org, and that is at, once again, jihadwatch.org, updated many times daily with news and commentary on global jihad activity.
Praise the Lord. May the Lord bless and keep you. All right. Wallet, you got a couple minutes. What do you got to say? Final words.
Well, to add to what Brother Spencer says, you know, and I add the verses in the Bible, and I saw the martyrs that were beheaded in the name of Jesus. Who practices beheading? This is Islamic religion. Islam is not simply a religion. It's a constitution. It is an ideology. In fact, when Muslims are being preached to, and the preacher asked the crowd, "Ma hiya amanikum," in the Arabic, what are your desires? And they respond, "Al-mautu fi sabilillah," to die for the cause of Allah. "Ma huwa dusturakum," what is your constitution? "Al-Qur'anu dusturana," the Qur'an is our constitution. The Qur'an is a constitutional government. So we need to understand that Islam is an ideology and a movement and a political law and a globalist system that wants to take over the whole entire globe. My website is shoebat.com, shoebat.com, and my last book is God's War and Terror. People can order it by dialing 720-935-2826, and I thank you for allowing me to make this small commercial here. I appreciate it.
Well, may the Lord bless and keep you too, and I thank you so very much for being on our program again, and you be blessed, brother, and we'll have you back on again. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Mike.
Well, Saints, first off, what are my thoughts? My first thoughts are is that you should go back and listen to this program again. I think that you should share this program with others. I think we're in a very, very bad time. Many people warned about Obama before the election. I think that I cannot say, you know, he professes to be a Christian, he professes to be a Muslim. You can't be both. I mean, well, he doesn't profess to be a Muslim, but he did when he said that prayer, as Wallad said. So you need to consider these things and consider that we are so far ahead in Bible prophecy. This is just not going to just change back. We took a step forward that we're not taking a step back from. There are so many say the end times are coming. I say we're there now. I pray that you're all right with Yeshua and are doers of the word. Being saved requires more than just claiming to be so. You must turn away from sin and love your neighbors like yourself. It's like this. If what you're doing doesn't glorify Yahweh, then just don't do it. Second, are you a blessing to others? Not just the ones that you love, but strangers. Do you curse your enemies or do you pray for them? These things are a requirement. Now, on another thing, you know, saints, we really need your help with any kind of donations. We're not, if you're not a current supporter of our mission church, then consider even a small weekly or monthly donation. A one-time donation will even help greatly. We badly need your help tonight, or whenever you do hear this program. You can donate online or call us for the address to mail a check or money order. Prayers are number one. Pray for our ministry. If you're blessed by this program, or why don't you pray about helping us with airtime, because this is satellite radio, and airtime does cost, and I'm going to be needing to make a payment shortly, so pray about airtime. You know, on another subject, these are kind of scary. I formed a group on the Internet to try to bring people together, and that group is called End Time Neighbors Help. And you can find the address by emailing me at pastor@wichitahomeless.com. And the address, though, for it is ETNH-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. Folks, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, as that is praying for Messiah's return. And in the meantime, Lord our God, Father King Universe, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Lord bless you and keep you. And the Lord's face shines upon you and is gracious to you and gives you peace. Until next week, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.
You're listening to AVR, the American Voice Radio Network. We're on free-to-air KU band satellite at Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, frequency 11836 vertical, with symbol rate 20.770, PID left audio channel. Visit our website at theamericanvoice.com.
Vitamin E prevents internal blood clots, but not all vitamin E is equal. Would you like to get a vitamin E that makes blood flow more smoothly than Plavix, but with no harmful side effects? 4-Spectrum Natural Unesterified Vitamin E Complex has been called WD-40 for your blood. It actually lubricates the blood while it dissolves plaque. It prevents platelet aggregation and internal clotting. It neutralizes smoke, fumes, waste, and other harmful free radicals. Doctors report relief from angina, painful leg cramps, strokes, fibrocystic breast tumors, circulation problems, and much more. Get one bottle for $35 postpaid, two bottles for only $60 postpaid. Restore this vital nutrient removed from your food supply through food processing. Read more at